morning, everyone. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 1. And when he had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of His Word. I put back in the bulletin again, if you should have one of these, I put this back in as a reminder. This was the format that the Apostle Matthew gave us. All we did is just make it in an outline form so we can see it. Matthew told us that as he opened up, he had a prologue, and then he talked about the gospel of the kingdom. Chapters 3 and 4 was the narrative about John the Baptist, and then we had the discourse which we just finished last week, which was the Sermon on the Mount. Well, now there's going to be another section from chapter 8 through chapter 11 and verse 1, which is going to cover the kingdom extended under Jesus' authority. The purpose that Matthew has is to teach us how things are and what are evidences of that. In particular, in chapter 8 through chapter 10, these are going to cover miracles, and each portrays some facet of the kingdom and its king. We won't get to it obviously this week or next, but the next part is a discourse, which is teachings on mission and martyrdom. So it's going through this and working through this, so we are being exposed to Jesus Christ and his power and authority. If you'll notice on the back, this is the outline that I've been using, and it's a further and a greater breakdown of the same passages. And you'll see under the narrative, I have there, it says, the kingdom extended under Jesus' authority. Now, we saw him proclaim it in chapters 5, 6, and 7. He was talking a great story. But what we are going to see through this next section, which is chapter 8 through chapter 10, is he doesn't just talk a great story, he actually does a great story. And these are the evidences that he does have power and authority, and that he is establishing his kingdom. This is the foundation stones of him starting his kingdom and preparing in all of these different formats that we're going to see. And so in particular, we're going to look at the ones we're under Matthew chapter 8, which Jesus exhibits his authority by healing. We aren't going to do all of them today, but you can see the outline. And the purpose behind all of this is to show that it is about Jesus' authority as prophet, priest, and king. As I mentioned a minute ago, what have we just seen when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount? The Apostle Matthew showed Jesus' authority by the way Jesus preached and what he taught. And he did it with authority. It was indicated by the words that were that we saw, where it says, "Blessed are you." It's a statement. It's a fact. It isn't, well, maybe you're going to be blessed. No, it's a statement. Blessed are you. Or, how blessed are you? It's telling you that you are, and he used that term 9 times in chapter 5. Or then when he spoke with authority, when he compared it to some of the Old Testament Mosaic laws, when he then says, but I say to you, what he's saying is, they were fulfilled, and now I am giving you a greater and a greater law. And he said that 9 times in chapter 5. And he then taught us things on how to pray, how to fast, how to judge or evaluate properly in chapter 7, and also to be aware of false disciples and what they will look like. Those who may be men who will be preachers or teachers or just someone in the church, in the congregation. How do we evaluate properly? These are all not just suggestions. They were authoritative things that we needed to listen to. So now the Apostle Matthew continues to teach us more about Jesus Christ and his ministry and his authority regarding Jesus Christ's kingship and his kingdom in these verses. In these verses in particular, he's going to show how Jesus Christ demonstrated his authority, which is supposed to convince you and me that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he has established his kingdom. This was the very beginning, the seed form of it starting, and now we are the rest of the building. You may actually be the sheetrock that's going up inside the building, or maybe you're the paint inside the building of believers, if we were to use metaphors like that. So how did or how does Jesus exhibit his power and authority? In these verses that we're going to be looking at from chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, there's 3 examples that we are given here. The first one, Jesus heals a leper with a touch. That's going to be verses 1 through 4. But in this particular thing, Jesus Christ is king over mankind's fallen state and can restore atonement. This is what's being taught. It's a story about a leper. But what's the story supposed to be telling you? It's telling you that Jesus Christ is king over mankind's fallen state, over Adam's state when he fell from God's good graces. And then mankind then will have physical problems because he's no longer perfect. And so there was a need for an atonement. That was the idea with leprosy. The second thing is going to be looked at is verses 5 through 13, where Jesus heals a servant with a word. This is pointing out Jesus is king over the Gentiles, and that he is not restricted to time and space. And then the last one is verses 14 through 17, where Jesus heals many people. Jesus is king over the demon-possessed and the spirit world. He has power over them. They are not more powerful than him. It isn't like, well, one day Satan is winning in the arm wrestling match and Jesus goes, oh, no, I got to do something. No, he is king. And it's not a matter of someone is stronger than him. So let's look at the first one here as we start. And may I reiterate this, and I'll probably say it a couple of times. Please, please do not get caught up in the story of the leper. Do not get caught up in the story of the Roman centurion and also Peter's mother-in-law. That is not the highlight. What we need to see is it is about Jesus Christ and his authority. He's using the story, the narrative, to highlight Jesus Christ. He's not using the narrative to highlight the leper. He's not going to use the narrative to highlight the Roman centurion. And he's not going to use the story to highlight Peter's mother-in-law. It's about Christ. Notice what he says in verse 1. So when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Yeah, you can imagine that, can't you? He just preached to them for over an hour and gave them some phenomenal teaching, pointing out his power and authority, and crowds are following him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. How does this healing of a leper demonstrate Jesus Christ's power and authority is the question we need to answer. Since the fall of Adam, mankind has had limited physical abilities. So in this instance, Jesus Christ is demonstrating his authority over mankind's fallen physical condition by healing a man with leprosy. Will you notice with me the timing of this healing? This happened just after Jesus was coming off of the mountainside where he had informed the people of his power and authority. Jesus was supplying, going back home to Capernaum, coming off the mountainside. This leper, who must have heard his message and was filled with hope and faith, might have been thinking, I cannot lose this moment. This could be my one and only chance to be healed. So as the man got near to Jesus Christ, he threw himself on the ground and knelt before him, crying out, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The man obviously believed Jesus could heal him of his leprosy. What he did not know was if Jesus would heal him of the leprosy. And then something amazing happened. Jesus Christ had mercy on this man, and he reached out and he touched him. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to two passages in your Bible. The first one is the book of Numbers, chapter 5. Numbers, chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you to stick your finger in there. And the other one is going to be Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. These are two passages regarding issues regarding leprosy and instructions that were given to the people of Israel. The Lord spoke to Moses, write this down. This is what I want you to do. When people who will have leprosy, what do you do? What's the procedure? Of either if they are now unclean, how to recognize what unclean is, how to then, if that person is considered unclean, then what do? You have to put him outside the camp so that other people will not be infected by this disease. Then also, if there's a building that has this mold growing in it and stuff like that, what's the procedure and what do they do, what you should do, and that's found in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. So that's one aspect. Then there's another one that's found in Numbers chapter 5. And this is what do you do if something happens when you're with someone and you touch someone. So these are two accounts that I tried to select and whittle them down so you could take it more like an aspirin than reading massive amounts of chapters. The first one I'm going to ask you to look at with me is Numbers chapter 5, and it's the first four verses. In this particular passage in Numbers chapter 5, verse 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, so Moses is getting it right from the Lord. This is what you will tell the people, Moses. And he says, command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or has a discharge. And notice what it says, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. So that means you don't even touch people. Verse 3, you shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp. You can no longer live in the city. You are going to be outside in some roughing it somewhere unless you can build a building and find your own place. That they may not defile the camp in the midst in which I dwell. And the people of Israel did so and put them outside the camp. As the Lord said to Moses, so the people of Israel did. So they were obedient. They had people that had physical problems. I don't know what they would have been, skin diseases, whatever. And they were put outside. They could not travel with the 12 tribes inside. You followed them like a follow-up caravan. Now I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the other passage in Leviticus 13. And it's verses 45 through 47. And this is a little bit further information regarding the issues on leprosy. There are more, but I tried to pick highlights. In verse 45, it says, the leprous person who has the disease will wear torn clothing, will let the hair of his head hang loose. It means you can't pull it back in a bun. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. These passages and lots more of them tells us that anyone who touches a leper is defiled, making them unclean. But in this case, we see Jesus performing priestly duties by making atonement for the man's uncleanness and showing his authority over fallen creation and disease. Jesus' response to the man was found in Matthew 8:3. Jesus said to the man after he says, will you heal me? And he says, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Instantly, the man's leprosy disappeared. This shows us that Jesus was not just a doctor with medicine. Jesus has power over creation itself, powerful enough to change physical laws with a touch. This man had no question if Jesus could heal him of his disease. He had great faith in Jesus Christ. What he did not know is if Jesus would direct that power his way and heal him. But Jesus touching, or by Jesus touching the leper, Jesus would become now ceremonially defiled himself. But at Jesus' touch, nothing remains defiled. Far from becoming unclean, Jesus makes the unclean clean. Both Jesus' touch and his word are effective in making men whole, spiritually and physically. Technically speaking, Jesus has already transcended the Mosaic law by touching the leper without being defiled. I'll repeat that again. Technically, think about this. This is the time when the Mosaic law still was in effect. And Jesus Christ has come on the scene. The law is almost complete. It's almost fully fulfilled. Jesus Christ has already preached a sermon back here saying, I have come to fulfill the law. And he says, but I say unto you. So now he's saying, I have something greater than the law of Moses. And now what happens is he touches a man who should not be touched, which would have made everybody else defiled. Now Jesus Christ touches this man, and the man is no longer defiled. He is no longer unholy. Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything that can defile him. So Jesus Christ has already transcended, is greater than the Mosaic law by touching the leper without being defiled. If you remember with me, back in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, Jesus already told us he came to fulfill the law, and he has done that. But after touching the man and healing him of his leprosy, Jesus tells the man to go to the priest and to offer the gift that Moses prescribed, which was back in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. In one sense, Jesus does submit to the Mosaic law. He puts himself under its ordinances in conforming to the Mosaic law. The cured leper now becomes the occasion. The cured leper now becomes the occasion for the Mosaic law to confirm Jesus' authority. By Jesus healing this man is going to go to an authority who is going to use the Mosaic law, Leviticus 13, Leviticus 14, Numbers 5, and then say, are you clean? Are you unclean? Are you defiled? Or are you now holy and can come within the camp? As the healer who needs but to will the deed, for it will be done. Jesus willed the deed for this man to no longer be defiled. Something the Mosaic law could never do. The Mosaic law could only acknowledge if a healing had taken place, but it could never perform the healing. This account of the leper being healed by Jesus Christ makes the law, the Mosaic law, an official witness of Jesus Christ's kingly authority, that Jesus Christ is king over all his dominion, spiritual and physical. This is what the story is about. It is not about just some guy coming to Jesus begging him to, oh, I just don't like the skin disease anymore, and I don't like the psoriasis. It's about being right with God and being able to come within his camp, be part of his people. And Jesus is the only one who can change that. Ladies and gentlemen, all men and women are born spiritually leprous outside the kingdom of God. We are born outcasts from God, as the leper was an outcast from the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ alone can cleanse away the spiritual death, which is exemplified by our story. We're told the man believed in Jesus Christ and his authority to heal him on the spot. What the leper did not know was if Jesus would save him from the deadly disease. We also are like the leper. We are spiritually diseased and in need of cleansing from our sin. And Jesus is willing to reach out and touch us and cleanse us from our sin, as he told the leper, "I am willing, be cleansed." Because something greater than the Mosaic law has arrived. Jesus Christ the King has come with all power and authority, as the Mosaic law has witnessed through the cleansing of this leper. The other story that we have, it's a little bit longer. Hopefully I'll shorten it up a little bit, but Jesus heals the servant with a word. This is about Jesus Christ as King over the Gentiles. Notice what it says in verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, this was his hometown, all right, a centurion came before him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." Verse 8, but the centurion replied, quote, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and the other, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And the centurion, to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. In this account, Jesus was approached by a Gentile Roman centurion soldier. We are not told how he heard about Jesus Christ, but here he was at Jesus' doorstep in Capernaum. What we do know is Capernaum was an important garrison town for the Roman army, and a centurion is responsible for 80 to 100 men. Now, we must remember this story is about Jesus Christ and not the Roman centurion. Matthew 8:7 tells us that the centurion asked Jesus to heal his slave who was in great pain, and Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." This is when the story takes the twist. Verses 8 and 9. The Roman officer acknowledges Jesus' authority. He tells Jesus he does not have to come to his house, because people who are in authority do not come when summoned by nobodies. The officer obviously understood the chain of command. In this case, the Roman officer understood Jesus was someone who had power and authority to change men's lives. And in this case, save a man's life. The centurion understood if Jesus Christ was the real deal, he did not have to travel to heal his servant. Jesus only needed to speak the word and it would be so. So the Apostle Matthew's point was, faithful people see beyond the everyday and know where true power and authority lies, and it obviously lies with Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' power and authority is not restricted to time, space, or a people. These things are not a hindrance to him. So to defy Jesus Christ's authority is to defy God himself. So here we see the faithfulness of this Gentile centurion who won the healing of his servant from the Lord Jesus Christ. But this account has much more involved with it. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, it tells us Jesus Christ's response was to this faithful Gentile. Verse 11, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This was alone one of the foundation stones of Jesus Christ setting up his kingdom. Think of it. He is speaking to a centurion, a Gentile. And this is one of those seed forms, the beginning of hearing about the kingdom coming, being built. And Jesus Christ says to him, I tell you, many. Think of Jew and Gentile, especially since now he's speaking to a Gentile, will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But has this been already spoken about? Or is this something new? Is he speaking off the top of his head? Well, no. This has already been told to us. In Isaiah chapter 49, verses 12 and 13 is what Jesus was quoting. Jesus was taking the passage from Isaiah 49 and saying, I am fulfilling it here and now. This is the start of me establishing that. Behold, these shall come from afar. And behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sion. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. That was referring to Jew and Gentile when Jesus Christ just quoted that. Now, you wouldn't have thought that when you read the passage in Isaiah by itself. But Jesus is saying, I am doing it right now with this Gentile who's standing in front of me and who believes by faith that time and space and distance have nothing to do with my abilities. Just speak the word and you are powerful enough. You have the authority to heal and do these things. And so, what we are hearing and seeing is Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet about the Gentiles being added into his kingdom. After mentioning that the Gentiles will be added to his kingdom, which is the start of Jesus Christ setting up his kingdom, he heals Gentiles as well as Jews. Jesus mentions there will be Jews who will miss out on this great privilege and end up, as verse 13 tells us, being thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus has power and authority also to condemn. The sad part is, in this particular account, is as he is saying, look, here's this guy, he's sick, he's paralyzed, he's over here, he's not on this side of town, he's on the other side of town. The centurion says, I know, now, you have the power and authority to do it. Now, we're not given the story how he learned that, but he must have heard something. And he simply says to him, here it is. I know you have power and authority to accomplish this. And Jesus says, and it will be true with the Gentiles as well, because he quotes the passage out of Isaiah 49. And here he's speaking to a Gentile and even saying, I would even come to your house for a Jew to cross over the threshold of a Gentile was to defile himself. So here Jesus is pointing out this is the first seed, the stuff going out that men and women will come to know Jesus Christ with all power and authority and whom you believe in and what he is capable of doing. And the problem here, the backside is people who have already had the word of God, the Jews, will not be listening. And he says, and they who are not listening, even though they had the word of God, that they've been exposed, that they've been made aware, will not believe and be as faithful as that Gentile centurion. And he says, and they will be thrown into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If that isn't enough, the Apostle Matthew goes on and talks about healing other people, and in particular those who are demon-possessed and with evil spirits. And that's found in verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She arose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And this account of Jesus Christ's healing, the Apostle Matthew tells us that Jesus Christ healed Peter's mother-in-law who was living with him. And then Matthew went on to tell us about Jesus healing many others and casting out demons. Now, we do not have to guess at why the Apostle Matthew used these three examples. Matthew tells us exactly why he spoke about these three accounts of healing. Jesus Christ fulfilled what had been promised by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah when Matthew quotes the Isaiah 53 and verse 4 text. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus' authority was exemplified by Jesus Christ showing mercy to all these people, following through on his teaching from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 about being merciful. Blessed are the merciful. And he was showing mercy to these people who were in great need. His mercy, his power, and his authority was made evident by these miracles. All of these and many more, which were not recorded, speak of Jesus setting up his kingdom. Even the spirit world does not have power to fight back against him. The King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is simply the greatest King of kings and Lord of lords. He simply casts out spirits with a word. Yes, our King even has power over the spirit world. Brothers and sisters, this is something that, as I looked at it, when I first looked at it myself, I thought, okay, these are just three accounts. But as I spent the time thinking about it, I thought, John, are you wowed by this? Are you impressed by what the Apostle Matthew highlighted as showing Jesus Christ having power and authority to change lives? And in particular, it was the cleansing of men to change things. And he did it showing physical things. Later, he's going to say, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to clean somebody? Well, it's obvious. You can wash somebody up and put new clothes on them, but can you cleanse their souls? Well, Jesus Christ is talking about changing you, that inner person. And as you have faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has the power and authority to bring you and me into his family, Jew and Gentile, into his family, we will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the Great Supper, and we will be praising God for cleansing us from our spiritual leprosy. Is that whom you believe? It's one thing to hear what he preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Do you believe that he can do these things, that he can change you from the inside out? To help you to see that the things of this world are passing away. All those hopes that you have that are built on the world are passing away. It's only a matter of when. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He has a kingdom. It exists already. We have been transferred into that when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because you and I do not see it with our physical eyes does not mean it does not exist. Are you wowed with this God who saves men's souls? Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is King over mankind's fallen state and can restore atonement with our God. Jesus Christ is King over Jews and Gentiles. And Jesus Christ is King over the demon or the spirit world. There is no other power greater than His. He has all power and authority. Does that change the way you think, the way you worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, our King, Jesus Christ, has exhibited who He really is by doing signs, miracles, healing people, changing people on the outside as well as changing people from the inside. I ask, Father, that we truly would have not just a greater awareness, but a greater relationship with the One who can change us. Change us from the inside out so that we will worship you and that we will worship you well. We ask your blessings upon us, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.